You don't have to explain it. It's just the way you are. That country's in your blood now, ain't it? Like a tattoo on your heart. Well, there's a hell yeah inside of you. You let out on a Friday night. And some people might call it wrong around here. Yeah, we think it's just right. It's called Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki T, and we're kind of kicking it old school this week. If you listen to the early days of the podcast, you'll know that we used to do a bunch of green room podcasts, and we are back with a green room pod here at the Basement East. We got our buddies, Josh Malloy and Trent Fletcher. Why don't you guys say hello, and so they know who each of you is on vocals.
What's up, guys? It's Josh over here.
How's it going? Trent right here.
Well, thanks so much for taking some time to kind of kick it with us here in the green room at the Basement East while y'all are in Nashville.
Yeah, man. Great time. We're ready for it.
How long have you guys been out on the road so far on this like tour y'all have been doing?
So we just got back. We've been in California for, golly, 2 weeks. I think it feels like it's been months, man. We were in California. We got home. And then next week we come here. So this is actually only our second show on the road. Our first show was yesterday, so we've been home a lot. I have anyways. I don't know about Trent.
I mean, we've been blessed to be gone quite a bit lately. We were in Fort Smith, Arkansas last weekend, went back home, played mechanic all week, and drove through the night here. So
nothing wrong with that. How long of a drive?
From Long Grove, Oklahoma, it was right at 10 and a half straight. It took us 13 to get
you
here.
You drove that old Ford, man. Yeah. Trust the old Fords.
That OBS motel, baby.
Hey. Man, I'm like actually looking for a van now. I just have like a shitty Elantra. And I was like, I just want to have like a Ford Transit and drive it around all the time. Right, just wrap it and raise rowdy. You know? just make it my everyday driver. Just walking billboard or billboard, I guess.
I just got mine wrapped, man. Billboard.
Dude, that's what it is. Dude, it looks sick. Nuts. I saw that. That thing's nice. What is that rig?
Dude, so it's a Freightliner. It's a 2011. My dad is the genius behind it. We bought it right when we started touring. Everyone's like, dude, you don't need a bus. You need to buy a new van. And me and my dad are both like cheap asses, right? So my dad finds this on eBay for $8,000, dude. We buy it. It hasn't broke down. We've took it all over America the last 3 years, dude. It's awesome. So yeah, it's an old Freightliner bus. We just got it wrapped.
Yeah, do you just like leave it like the Freightliner pretty much? Or is it like, do you put bunks in it and shit?
Man, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We've redid it. We put a new rear gear in it and it goes like 93 miles an hour. Yeah. And now it's got my name on it. So, you know, we just embrace it at this point.
That's amazing.
But yeah, we got some beds on it.
That's sick. I know we talked to Corey Kent and he was in like a van for the longest time. Uh-huh. It was like a red van and it was like his signature van. And he's finally like in a bus now, you know?
Right, dude. Corey's a cool guy.
But he was like, what am I going to do with the red van now? I don't want to get rid of it. He tried selling it to our tattoo artist, Mike Stahl. He's like, dude, I don't want to get rid of it, but I'd sell it to you kind of thing.
I was actually going to rent it from them a couple weekends.
Oh, really?
I might have to.
Yeah. Dude, Corey's a G. I remember having him on the pod. I remember seeing him like when he was still Corey Kent White. And I was like, damn, this dude's good. And then got to catch him when it was like kind of still COVID-y. And he was like, it was like right when he was starting to put new music out, but like kind of right when it was starting. And so it wasn't like working yet. And he's like, dude, I'll never forget that. Like you guys were with me like when it was like, I didn't know if it was going to work or not.
Right, dude.
So then we got to do some cool content with him at like Peaches of Rome, Georgia, which is a cool venue here in the Southeast.
Really?
Yeah. How much have you guys played in like the South other than the Texas, Oklahoma scene? Like, have you guys gotten into like Georgia and any of that shit yet?
Dude, I haven't. Like we've been near it, but we started out, we've been in the Midwest a lot. Mm-hmm. When we first started touring, like it's ingrained in people like me and Trenton, like Texas, yeah. You know, that's where we need to go.
Right.
And the guys I'm running with were like, dude, you don't need to do the Texas thing anymore. Like you can be bigger than that, you know? Yeah. So trusted that. And we've been Midwest and it's worked, man. Like we're bigger at home, you know, now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're expanding now. We're going everywhere now.
That's the cool thing is like, it's funny because the less you play in town, the bigger each in town show is, you know?
It's all
and it's
a
not
game,
just in
dude.
Town. It's like wherever your good markets are, then you can go play a bigger room if you don't play it three times a year, you know?
Right,
like,
man.
You play the bigger room and then you can try to build it outside the markets.
Now, the local people like respect you more because they're like, okay, they're big there, you know? They got to be.
Yeah.
We got to take them back. Serious.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed like, couple of years ago when y'all started going Midwest, you know, and going north, I was like, you know, I got to start getting in some of the venues that you were getting in early on. And you told me the same thing. And now we're kind of doing the same thing. We're getting up to Bucks in Nebraska and Riders in Minnesota. And now we got the same agent now, too. I mean, it's kind of put us right in it. It's a cool circuit. But we've never been out this far at all, this far east.
Nashville is a crazy town, too, because it's like everyone kind of comes through here. But like it's hard to sell tickets in Nashville.
Right.
And then when it pops, it fucking pops. You know,
right, like, dude.
You'll see someone play in a room that's like 150 cap room, and then you'll see someone play like a 2,000 cap room quick. You know,
dude, the vibe here is sick.
It's awesome. This place is amazing. Like I love this venue. It sounds great. Like there's a lot of room. If it's not full, they just like take that one corner off.
That's what he was telling me.
Keeps people in like more in the center, which is great.
Right.
I remember seeing Colby Cooper, and then Corey Kent was actually opening for him on that one.
Really?
And then
he got a radio number one.
Yeah. No, he has a number one on radio, doing pretty good. But it was just, it's a great place to see shows here. And it's, you get a lot of like the red dirt scene that'll come through here. Like I saw, I saw Reed Southall and Giovanni and the Hired Guns back to back here.
No way.
Like two nights in a row. And I was like, damn, that's when you know like the scene is coming to Nashville.
Yeah,
you know,
like, there's a place for us.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
And that's one of the things too that I've seen is like the Oklahoma, Texas, like the red dirt scene has been embraced so much by Nashville, specifically since like I've been here.
Right.
You've just seen it happen. And guys, I mean, you've seen great success by folks like, you know, like Aaron Watson and Cody, but that's opened up the doors for so much more.
Right,
you know?
A new generation,
yeah,
for sure.
And then I remember like watching Co tour through the Southeast when he first started doing it. It was like, well, he was actually with Muscadine, who I'm like, you know, good buddies with
cool
the boys
guys,
from Muscadine.
Man.
Great guys.
Love those dudes.
And I remember they were like, Co took them out on some dates, and then he took them out on some dates, and it was like, you know, like introducing each other to the other markets.
Right.
So it's neat that they have relationships like that.
Yeah, that helps. That propels people, man, for sure. I was around when Reed and Co were doing that.
Because
that's kind of where I was, where it all started. I was there. Like, I was younger, and I wasn't in it yet, but I watched it, you know, from afar.
Yeah. What do you think, like, the best part about, like, the Stillwater scene is in music industry? Like, what's the thing that makes it so great?
Man, I don't, it's authentic, man. It's just, like, nobody is, to me, nobody's, like, handed it, you know? Like, you're, it's just, like, people out there grinding, and then somebody popped, and it's like, dude, how, like, they just popped. It's crazy.
And there's no bullshit, too. It's like, I mean, if it's something that's real and honest, you know, from the soul out there, it's respected. And I don't know. I mean, it's held to a higher standard as far as writing goes. You know, people kind of keep each other in check. And, you know, if your buddy writes a shitty song, you're like, hey, like, you know, work on it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's a cool kind of like camaraderie thing that goes on up there. And that's cool. It's fun.
Right.
Have you guys co-written extensively or not too much?
Me and Trent, dude, we've done everything but co-write.
Dude, we've been talking about it
we've
for
talked
years,
about
dude.
It.
I see
like
one of the
days
we
need to
get on, dude.
You did. No, man, we've ran around together, but we've never sit down. I'm weird. I'm terrible. I'm finally getting out of my shell and co-writing like this last year, you know. I don't know, Trent's done it.
We've co-wrote. A little bit. Zach Rainer and I, we wrote a few together, but I don't know, I'm kind of the same way. Like I get in like my own set way of doing things. Like I know like what makes me click. I know like the setting and you know the things that get me like in the state of mind. And it is kind of hard sometimes to like sit down and write with people. But I guess being more open to that is just part of growing as a writer. Probably we need to do more of it. Honestly,
for sure. Vital.
I think there's great ways for success. I mean, look at how many great people are mostly solo, right? Like Childers and all those guys.
Right. It can be done.
There's no right or wrong way to do it.
Right.
It's just what you're comfortable with and what makes sense for you.
Right.
The cool thing about Nashville is like there is that songwriter community. So like any day of the week, there's hundreds of songs being written. Most of them aren't good, but you know, but like that's how you get better.
Quantity's there though.
Yeah. And that's like, I mean, a lot of people that we've talked to are like, well, you get better by reps, same way as playing music.
Yep.
You know, you're out doing the live show, your live show gets better. if you're writing songs, the songs get better. So
that's true, man. It's, pick from a bigger pool.
Yeah.
Definitely get better stuff.
Yeah, that's it. So it's like, I know like the thing they say in Nashville is like the first 100 don't count. And I was like, that's not the case anymore. Because man, like you see so many artists that like, they're like, yeah, this is my first song I ever wrote. Or like, this is like probably the 10th song I ever wrote. And that's the one that like really makes it happen.
It is, dude. That's common, man. Some of mine, I didn't think I'd ever get past them. Like the first ones. And I feel like a lot of people discredit their early on stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, to me, it's like, don't be ashamed of it. It's like part of your journey. Like I mean, obviously some of them I'm like, oh, but I mean, it's part of it, man. Like, you know,
you ever come back to like ones you put on the shelf like 3 or 4 years ago and like come back with a fresh view on it and work on it now?
Yeah, I've been doing that a little bit lately. Because I feel like when you learn too much, you lose. Like I was arguably more creative when I was less musically inclined. I feel like, I don't know, I'm going through phases, but like there's something to say about not knowing the right way to do things.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I mean, you can make stuff, you can make cool stuff when you're not confined to a box.
Yeah. I used to be really bad about, you know, getting attached to the ideas and attached to the songs and wanting every single one to be perfect the way you think it should be.
Right.
And I kind of had to realize, like, sometimes you just got to write the shitty songs just to get them out of your brain where they don't take up space there and let's, you know, room to breathe for other things. But that's something I had to get over for sure.
Yeah, man.
Because I'll sit there and I'll just, like, try to force the song to happen and just ain't meant to be sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people, like, see benefit of co-writes is if you get something and you're like, man, I just got it where I could get it and I don't know what to do from there, you might have two buddies that could help you get right there, you know.
Yeah,
that's so, where I'm more comfortable. Like I'm not a comfortable person to throw me in a room and write a song with somebody. I'm like I like coming with an idea and then somebody that I think would work well with it.
Yeah,
that's just how I work.
Makes sense. But it's just interesting to me, like getting to hear like from Nashville folks that have been here a while and then folks from other scenes and just how their creative processes work. And,
right.
You know, you'll see guys in town, you'll be out at Red Door or wherever, and like, you'll say something and they'll be like, you know, putting it in their phone, right, and like always making notes, you know. They got that brain on all the time, you know.
I'll be watching movies and get ideas. I've got like certain folders on my notes just like for certain ideas of songs.
I got voice memos.
I'm bad about not labeling those though, so I have to
me
type
too,
it.
Dude,
type,
go it through the dates.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see that. Any markets that you guys have been to that you've been like, damn, this is crazy, or like unexpectedly sold more tickets somewhere or anything like that? Just fans singing back anywhere in particular?
Dude, for me lately, this sounds so self-absorbed, but dude, it's been incredible. Like everywhere we go, that last song we put out, Porchlight, people just know it, dude. It's unbelievable. Like everywhere we're going, they're singing it with us. And that's new to me, man, because, like, that's everything I've ever dreamed of, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't know. Nowhere in particular. I hope tonight's as good.
Yeah, I hope Nashville.
Yeah. We're still, you know, we're just now getting where we're out on the road quite a bit. Like, we just got into Texas, I think, last October. It was the first, like, 3-day run we did in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of been, since last September, October, really trying to get our feet underneath this. But, honestly, I think our best market is San Angelo, Texas.
What's the...
Blaine's Pub.
Blaine's, yeah, okay.
Which... Cody, that owns that place now, he's kind of the first person to throw us a bone and like bring us down in Texas, invite us down there.
Hell yeah.
And I've been emailing everybody down there forever. The Blue Light brought us in, and right about the same time, Cody hit us up and got us in Blaine's. And dude, that's our best market for sure, hands down.
I like that part of Texas. I love Texas. I didn't mean to knock it. Like, you know, that's a huge market for my music.
West Texas gets down.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
It's interesting too, like when you talk to Oklahoma folks and Texas folks and they're like, there's like a little rivalry there.
It's like prideful of your state, but like, you know, like,
but you also were like, I can go there and sell tickets. That's great. You
right,
know?
Right.
Why don't you talk about like, man, you said you hadn't been on a podcast in like a year, but
yeah,
your life and the amount of people listening to your songs and stuff have drastically changed.
Yeah, man. The last year has been incredible. It's been like, since I started, what I've like wanted to do, like, you know, and it didn't happen and you get down and then it just happens, man. But I don't know, man, just been grinding, trying to still doing stuff my own way. I don't have a manager, I don't have a label, and I don't know, I just like doing it that way. I'm a DIY person. Trent's similar to me. We're both kind of on the outside, but
yeah,
okay. Now's the time. You can still, you can crack through being on the outside, man. So
absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to do.
It's one of those times where like the music can transcend area, right? So sure. like with TikTok and social media and just streaming in general,
right?
You know, a song can get a life of its own.
Powerful, man.
And then you look at where people are listening to it and you're like, where are they listening to it? Yeah, you know? Right.
It's powerful, dude. Social media. That's made my career so far.
It's nuts.
Because I've just bypassed, you know, the traditional way. It's just a new thing. It's working.
It is, man. And it's like, yeah. You've seen the guys that have been, okay, got big on socials, then went and got the label deal and stuff, right?
Right, dude.
You don't even have to do that. Dude. Like, that's one way, and there's power in it. Yeah, there's power in that. But
you don't, man.
Look at guys like Cody and, you know, folks from Texas that came to the table with everything.
Dude, that's who I'm modeling my, I still talk to Cody, like, that's who I'm modeling after, man, because that's business, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a smart guy.
Yep. And that's all you got to think about. I mean, I'm sure you guys have LLCs for yourself, you know,
right.
Like, and that's how it works. Like, you are in the business of your music and your persona and your thing.
Right.
You know? And it's so interesting to like think about it like that, but you have to think about it like a business.
Oh,
like,
absolutely, dude. People are deceived if they think otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you think like, I know music is music and it's universal. It brings people together. But, dude, there is a competitive edge to it. For like me, I'm just a natural competitor, and that's, like, my drive. And I love Trent to death, and I love everybody to death, but I'm trying to make it my own, you know?
Yep.
I got a drive, and that's just me. I might be off topic, but anyways, you were talking about how young people – labels, man. You don't have to do it that way.
No,
if
there's,
you don't
power
mind doing
it,
the work yourself.
Yes, as long as you have the work ethic.
Right.
Like, what labels help with is it's like, okay, you need me to do this specific time, like someone kind of like helping you manage when you have to do content shoots and shit like
right.
that. But if you're self-motivated and you have the resources or have access to people in your area or crew that have the resources, you don't need that.
You don't, dude. I've got offers from big labels, and I've just like, I've sat there and thought like, who these guys are with? And I'm like, we're already past some of these guys. And I've been watching them since they signed a label. Cause I'm like obsessed with the business side. Like, I like micro look into other artists and like, what are they doing? Did this work? And I'm like, dude, I don't, labels aren't pointless. They're not. But
no, yeah.
I mean, someone like me, I don't think I need one. I don't see a point to it.
Yeah.
Not right now. I mean,
The things that a label could do is put you on terrestrial radio.
Right.
But like,
I'm not interested in that.
Right. You don't even need that.
No.
And at some point, that can like almost diminish your brand at this point.
Right.
You know?
In
like,
today's culture, because people want, dude, they're sniffing out the fake machine, dude.
Yep.
They want
right away.
They want you.
They want authentic, underground, like real shit, specifically in like that Oklahoma red dirty scene.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
dude.
It's almost how like vintage stuff comes back around. You know, everybody's into like the vintage clothes and everything.
It is. It's like it's turning into the cool guy country. Hopefully it doesn't like get, I'm hoping like, and I'm guessing every, it always swings, but I hope it doesn't, like it might get oversaturated. You know what we're doing? I don't know. I love it.
It's all waves.
We're lucky to be in it, dude.
Yeah,
we're
for sure.
In the heat of it.
If you think about it, like, every artist that's had long careers, everything's constantly changing, right? It's just, and the scene changes, right? Like, if you're talking about like what's happening right now, it's like sad boy country that's like almost folk,
right?
You know? And then it's
absolutely
like the rockin' stuff. And honestly, like the red dirt scene is very big in the industry right now.
Sure.
More so than at least in my life that it's ever been.
Sure.
You know, I remember like when I was young, like hearing about ragweed and stuff like
that,
but we really didn't get exposure to that stuff.
Nah, up north. Now it's on like a national scale.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's like Ragweed, Bull, and those guys, and then like the next generation's like Turnpike.
Yes.
And then like Zach Bryan. Like, it's just crazy, dude.
I remember seeing Turnpike in 2015 kind of by chance.
Uh-huh.
Really?
And just my brain exploded. I was like, wait, this exists and I don't know what it is? Like, I thought I knew my shit, you know? Yeah,
right.
I was like, how do I not know this yet? You know, streaming was there, but it wasn't like it is now where it's like the only thing, you know?
No, it's crazy, dude.
It's nuts.
And it's so easy to find like similar tastes. Yeah, it's so easy. Like, if you like Turnpike, it puts you on immediately like all these other bands that they tour with usually, yes. Like bands that are right up their alley.
Yep.
And they're not just going to throw them in with the algorithm with some, you know, somebody totally not similar to them. It's going to be right up your alley if you like them, you know?
It's like arguably like going head to head, like with like real, like mainstream country. I mean, it's crazy, dude.
It's super interesting to like watch it happen and just kind of observe how that happens. And then it's like, okay, you get on a playlist, then you start getting on more playlists. Cause then every release they put out, they're actually fucking listening to
it.
You know, really that's what like a manager or a label are doing, or hey, here's my guy's stuff, make sure you listen ahead of time. Okay, it's good, we'll put it on a playlist.
Sure.
Well, if you had a song that hits a playlist,
right,
then every other song they're actually in their list of actually paying attention to. You know?
Yeah, once you're on the radar, dude.
Yeah. Once you're on the radar, it starts working. One of our buddies put out like a song, Faded, and hit all genre playlists. And he was how did that even happen? I'm like the only country song on here, but it was like, it was almost like a butt rock song. You know? we do a bit in town like twice a year where we call Butt Rock Night.
Uh-huh.
And it's full band karaoke basically, but each artist does one song. And they'll sing like a Creed or Nickelback or like Seether, Hinder.
Good stuff.
That's sick. That is sick.
And it's like a spectacle when we do it. Everybody just dresses up like an idiot and wears like black t-shirts and rings and like big necklaces and shit.
All the jokes aside, dude, the amount of hits that come from those people. Oh, yeah, dude. Nickelback's like a greatest hits band, right?
It's nuts.
It's bizarre.
We just got to see them. Our buddy Peyton's here, which is going to be starting a podcast soon with us. And he actually had Nickelback fan club, so he got us all tickets, and we were like, there was a bunch of us, there were like 8 of us or 9 of us, and he was like, where should we get? I'm like, bro, let's go like back row. I was like, it's like 2005 again, I want to be in the back row hammered drunk, listening to Nickelback with all my friends.
Takes you back, man.
Yeah,
and that was an era, man.
I know, it was nuts. It's like after that, rock kind of like died off, and it's funny because
it was mainstream,
it was so mainstream, but I think it's coming back, and I think it's coming back in this scene,
right?
Like, dude, the Texas,
weird mix, but it's sick. So weird. It's
like
cool.
The Texas-y scene, Americana lives in the rock world a little bit now, and then like regular rock music is leaning heavy,
right?
Like guys like Austin Snell, like his first single was like a rock single. That's, and he's gonna do some country stuff too, but it's like rock songs.
Sure,
you know?
Dude, you're right.
One of the most popular producers in town is a guy named Andrew Bayless, and he was like from Jelly Roll Camp, and now he's doing like all the rock stuff. He's doing like a project with LeJean from Seven Dust, and he does like Attack.
Damn.
And he does Austin Snell stuff, and he has like a couple co-writes with singles.
That's cool.
And he like Gio and those guys. So like when people come to town, they write with Bayless.
Right.
So it's cool, like, man. He's like a good hang, and he's a great producer and a great writer, you know?
That's cool.
But it's just nuts getting to see those kind of like scenes merge, like the rock scene with the country scene.
Sure. Yeah, it's happening for sure.
It is.
Texas, I mean, not specifically, but definitely there's a scene there.
Oh, absolutely. That's
it's like,
I remember,
modern Texas country, like super modern Texas country. It's like that.
I remember hearing someone say, yeah, if you're in a college town in Texas or Oklahoma now, the stuff that's like traditional isn't it anymore. They're not really selling tickets. It's like the real new red dirt, or it's the rocking stuff.
And that's new too, which is crazy.
And even the bands, like you'll hear your bands try to copy, you know, sounds just like, you know, new people out there. And even that stuff gets snipped out. Like,
oh yeah.
Like just the originality of somebody's sound is like what sells right now. Yeah. Those college towns for sure.
It's super cool seeing that happen. I honestly haven't been down there at all, but now that we're doing Raise Rowdy full time, I got to get to Texas in the next year or Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah, we got to get you to Stillwater.
Yeah, dude, I want to. Me and Sam, we'll bring Sam down. We're Sam and I are actually going to Louder Than Life Rock Festival. So we're like doing media coverage there. At least I think so. We'll see if they actually give us tickets. But he's so stoked because he's just a huge, huge rock fan, and Limp Bizkit's playing. And that's like his favorite band of all time. So,
dude, I went to Rocklahoma like every year before I ever knew how to play guitar. Me and my sisters go to rock concerts growing up like crazy.
So much fun.
Yeah, it is. It's cool.
It's funny though. Like, so we've been out doing a lot of like festival going. So we went to Tailgate and Tallboys, and Nickelback headlined it. In between every set, the whole weekend, they were playing like butt rock songs. And it's funny because they were like, Nickelback can do extremely well at a country festival now, but if you put them on a rock festival, they'll get like booed off the stage still.
Cause it's I could still see that, dude.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Like, what's it? Okay, this is no disrespect. Like, I actually think Nickelback's vocals are insanely awesome.
Yeah.
What's that guy that sings that song? It's a country song. Golly, what is his name? I'm not even going to think of it, and we're just going to be left puzzled. Anyways.
Do you have any lyrics from the song?
Right? Do I have anything? What is it?
That one song.
Yeah, okay, Nate Smith?
Nate Smith, yeah.
Dude, I was listening to the radio, and I was like, did Nickelback? This sounds so disrespectful. Nate, I don't know you if you ever hear this.
He's a great guy.
Your music's awesome. Yeah. His voice is incredible. I just heard his voice, and I'm like, that's freaking Nickelback.
Bro,
so he's like Dylan Wheeler. He's hitting them Nickelback notes, dude. I'm like, this is sick.
Funny enough, Nate's managed by the same people as Nickelback.
You're kidding.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense, dude.
So Josh Ross, too. If you hear Josh, you'll hear some like of that influence in there, too. Like that sonic, you know what I mean, sound on a couple of his songs. And that's
no way.
Yeah, they're all in the Bailey Zimmerman's in the Nickelback tree,
too. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The melodies are just great, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
It's working, man.
Right.
Again, for the second time, you know, probably for the fifth time. It probably happened 10 times before I was born, you know.
Right.
I went on a little side quest, I think last Monday. You guys listen to Hot Mulligan?
No.
Oh, you listen to Hot Mulligan?
Never heard.
You guys gotta check out Hot Mulligan. They're like a post-emo rock band.
Hell yeah.
I don't even know where they're from.
Uh-huh.
But they just dropped their second album. We went and watched them at the Tower in OKC last Monday. Insane. Like, I've never been to really even like a rock show or Oklahoma or anything like that. And this was just like straight up like silence. The singer, I don't even know his name, but they're badass. He called everybody to be quiet, like three songs in. Like, don't say a word. And he said, on count of three, everybody crack your knuckles. And it was like just everybody cracked their knuckles at the same time, and it was loud as shit. It was insane, dude. Like, it was actually crazy.
Cool.
Some lady on the front row like passed out, like fell on the front of the stage, and they like carried her to the side. Like, it was insane. Like, I've never experienced a show like that.
That's pretty cool.
But we gotta like do some knuckle cracking and some red dirt shows.
Yeah. We'll add it too.
Louder Than Life, September 21st through the 24th in Louisville with Foo Fighters, Green Day, Tool, Avenged Sevenfold, Godsmack, Limp Bizkit, Pantera, Queens of the Stone Age, Weezer, Megadeth, Turnstile, and many more. Get your passes on sale now at louderthanlifefestival.com.
Yeah. I'm a little bit older than y'all, so I remember like my early shows were like, there were fucking pits.
Uh-huh.
Like, active pits, and I was at a show, and I'm like
crazy.
17, and I was like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm gonna get in there, and then I get my eye busted up, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. You know?
What was my tooth?
Yeah. It's nuts. Like, and there's bands in town, like these guys, Lakeview. I don't know if you've heard of them,
but I haven't heard of Lakeview.
Lakeview is like country rock fusion,
really.
And dude, there's pits that open up at some of their shows.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. That's
like
crazy.
Like active pits, sick. Like in Louisville and places like that.
Trent, we're gonna start a pit in your.
Yeah, you're like, open up the pit. Just tell people, dude. You know.
I got this wireless, dude. I'm not just surfing.
I can see pits at Hardy shows. I can see pits.
Oh, like, yeah,
dude. I want to go see Hardy.
Yeah, dude. He's great. I worked over at Big Loud for like a year and a half. I did like marketing for them for a while, so I got to like hang with Hardy a little bit because it was like kind of his baby. Oh, and dude, he is as good of a guy as you think he is.
His writing's incredible too.
Like, yeah, he's such a killer writer.
It's
funny too, you can like hear him in a song and it's more like cadence than it is lyrics. It's like Cole Swindell cut a song from Hardy and you could like
style.
It sounded like Hardy, you know.
Right.
So it's like super interesting hearing his songs get cut by other folks. Now that you know his lane, you're like, oh, that's a Hardy
cool
song.
That's cool when you can tell, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's a couple writers that I'm just big fans of where I'm like, does this? And it isn't always.
Right.
Sometimes
but when you guess
like,
it right.
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's funny too, like there's a guy, Reed Houghton, who's from Alabama, and he just put out a new EP that he did with Sadler Vaden. It's awesome. Really good guitar work, and it sounds like Brent Cobb, and it sounds like Adam Hood.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
But they weren't writers on it. That's just the stuff he listened to.
Wow.
So it's like leaking into his music.
I need to listen to this guy.
You know? Yeah, it doesn't sound exactly like that,
sure,
but it's like
you can tell
in that vein.
Dude,
yeah.
That's so cool.
It's cool. And it's the same thing like you hear with like a lot of the scene, you'll hear like Ragweed stuff in people's songs.
Right. You know? You can hear like people like
you're like they listen to Ragweed.
I gotta be careful because sometimes like there'll be lines that come out or like a chord progression. I'm like, damn, that's way too close. Like, I gotta, like, oh, I know exactly where that came from.
Yeah. You know, like, your brain doesn't know till you remember. Yeah.
Or like, we're in the studio. I'm like, damn, I gotta change the key of this song. Cause I'm like, I did not realize, like, that I was hearing that in my head.
Lately, man, I've had that problem, man. Writing stuff and I'm like, dang, is that too close to that? It's like subconsciously. Like,
yeah.
You didn't even do anything on purpose.
Well, there's only like, so many melodies out there. Absolutely. You know? There's only so many chord progressions you can do.
There is.
Especially, I mean, I know guys that are like, I remember talking to people that wrote with Luke Combs, and they're like, Luke only knew three chords, so those are the ones we played, you know, in the early days, you know, because he had to play them.
Dude, that's me, dude, for sure.
They're like, so that's what the ones we wrote with, you know, or the ones he knew how to play. It's an interesting thing to see that now, like, all these bands have such big bands. Like, Luke's band's huge.
Right, you know? I can see that.
Yeah. Like, my normal co-host is in Luke's band. He's Kurt Ozon. He's a... He's like his steel player. He does all strings for him.
That's cool.
And they're click track, but that's it. Like no tracks, which is like not often in Nashville now.
Right. You know? Right.
Like most of the guys are using tracks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, dude, like Hardy doesn't even have a bass player. The bass is in the fucking tracks.
You're kidding.
It's really? Crazy, that. Man.
That's insane.
It's like, it's just like his thing now. Like at first it was to save money. And then he's like, all right, the bass player is the best player in the band. It's always on time, you know?
Right. I'm having a talk with my bass player.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And dude, it's funny too, because like with shows like that, you have to pay a fine for the music's union.
You're
for the
kidding.
Music. Yeah. So like you'll get fined for not having like a bass player.
Really?
But it's not enough to make it not worth your while. So it's
still cheaper. Well, why is that?
I think it's just a union. It's
punishment.
Yeah, I think it's just a union. I don't know. I just have people that told me that.
What if you're playing bass on keys or something like
maybe,
that?
Maybe that would work. I don't know if it's just...
I've seen a dude do that. It was unbelievable, dude. He was doing... I don't even know what he was playing with his hand. We were on a beach playing, and they didn't have a bass player, and he's like not even focusing. He's playing bass. And I'm like, that's insane. It was so the coolest crazy. Thing ever.
That's like the Cadillac 3 has Kelby play bass through a fucking... sit down steel.
No you know way. I mean? No,
yeah.
Dude.
So they have it double amped. They have an amp for the steel and they have an amp for bass. And
efficient,
he plays like,
man.
It's insane.
So you get around that.
But it gets them that like muddy sound. Right. So it has like a distinct sound when they play live, yeah. You know, which I think is part of like what makes me love them so much.
Sure.
Like that's the band I've seen the most is the Cadillac 3.
I'm a fan, but I've never seen them live.
Dude, they're so good live. Three guys and it's like a seven piece. They're that's just so fucking cool. crushing.
It's insane.
Neil's so good on drums. Kelby's down doing that. And he plays some upright bass too, you know, like some regular bass on some stuff, like the newer stuff. And then Jaren's just a rock star, dude. He's just like the front man that you'd want
to
have.
Got
he's,
to be if you're a three piece.
Yeah. He's just a fucking monster and slays at electric. And he like throws his hat off and spits stuff in the air. Like he's a fucking rock star. You know, it's like,
who have you seen more than anybody?
I don't know who I've seen more than anybody, but like you were saying, the three piece, dude, I don't even think I played music yet. I went and watched Chris Stapleton and it was him as a three piece and my jaw, dude. I still haven't picked it up off the floor. It was like the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I'm like, this guy is unbelievable.
I remember I had a friend that I knew in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I'm from. And she was like, hey, my buddy that I grew up with is like a singer-songwriter in Nashville. He's like in some bands and stuff. His name's Chris Stapleton, right? And this was before he was like doing his solo stuff.
Right.
So like I looked up like Johnson Brothers. Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Right. And then I saw like he was starting to drop music. And that was the first year I went to CMA Fest. And I tried to go to his show, but it didn't end up happening. We were drunk, you know. Like, yeah. Honestly, like we were just like got caught at a honky tonk, you know.
Sure.
But there's I got to see him open up for Warren Haynes, and it was like right before all the shit popped, and I got free tickets, and then I won another 4 free tickets, so I brought a bunch of my buddies, and I was like, listen, you guys don't have to stay the whole set, but you need to come for Chris Stapleton, you know,
dude.
And it happened, and then like 2 weeks later, the Timberlake thing happened, and they were like,
dude,
well,
we missed
you were
up.
Right, Nick. Yeah. No, they yeah. came.
Oh, they came.
Yeah, okay. I had 4 buddies that came with me, and they were like, well, you were right again, Nick. You know, I was like, I didn't know that was going to happen, but I knew this guy was good.
Right.
I got like a record store release vinyl of his. It's like, I think it's 1 of 500. It's just like, you know, one of the little ones, the 8-inch.
Right.
And I mean, his voice is just stupid.
Oh,
Steel
yeah,
Drivers,
yeah.
Johnson Brothers, like his solo stuff. It's
just put him against, I mean, I would put him against anybody just sitting down with an acoustic guitar. I mean, yeah. It's not even worth trying.
With anything. You put a cardboard box in his hands.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the craziest parts about being here in town is you watch these vocalists come to town and they're just insane. Like, there's this girl, Shelby Ray, that we're like big on, and she has been in town maybe a year now, right around a year. And I think she just like had her first, it was actually a Stapleton video, just popped on TikTok. It was like her first TikTok pop. But if you are paying attention at all in town, you've like in Nashville, you know that name, but no one outside of Nashville or South Carolina knows her. You know?
That's cool.
She's just a badass. And you'll get to hear people that you're like, oh, they're probably good. And then you'll hear them singing, and you're like, well, fuck. You know?
Yeah.
There's a girl, it's funny. She was a bartender at Live Oak, which is where we host Writers Rounds.
Okay.
And she was a bartender and she was up there playing and she sounded like Stevie Nicks. And I was like, whoa.
No way.
Yeah.
Bartender?
Yeah. Cool. Well, everybody's a bartender here, you know?
Sure, you're right. I've heard that.
You got to have two jobs here. Yeah. I remember someone told me, and it was one of my favorite things I've ever heard in town. They're like, yeah, if you're looking for the best drummer in the bar, go in the kitchen.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's cool. Man. Because it's so true, you know? There's just so many talented musicians here that, like, you just got to do whatever you can to, like, get enough money to get through because it's not cheap.
I don't know Nashville enough, man. I'm not super familiar with it.
It's nuts, man. It's just such a vibrant, like, everybody moves here to do it.
Right. I know that much, but...
I knew I was going to have a good time whenever I got here this morning, and I was just driving. We were just looking at, like, vintage t-shirt shops, just killing time at, like, 9:30 this morning, and we're driving past this record shop, and I see Turnpike's new album logo painted on the side of it. I was like, they got Turnpike painted on the walls out here.
Walking in there.
It was grimy. So I guess it's like associated with the basement.
Yeah. Yes.
And I went in there. I found me a Waylon Jennings record for $3 and Turnpike record. And I was like, dude, this is badass. Like, this is already a great day. It's like That's 10 a.m. Cool.
Yeah. It is a cool town, man. Some of the stuff is like, of course, touristy. Like,
right.
You know, there's that. Any city that has this much growth like Nashville's had, it's going to have that.
I don't mind it either. I mean,
man, it's cool. Fine.
It just feels good out here. I mean,
yeah, I don't go downtown on weekends much, you know?
Sure.
Like, I'll stay out here in like the outskirts of town and go to venues and stuff. But Broadway on a weekend when you're here enough that you've done it already is a little brutal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But I will go to Robert's Western World. Have you guys ever been there? So next time you're in town, Robert's Western World's on Broadway. It's just this little bar, but it's all old school country. And they have a recession special. It's $6. It's a fried bologna sandwich, a moon pie, a bag of chips, and a PBR for $6.
Sounds like, dude,
something my grandpa.
$6.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's I get that every time I'm there. Yeah.
Wow. What is that place called?
Robert's Western World.
Okay.
That is on Broadway, the cheapest place to drink beer. And they have PBR and Bush Light, and they're $2.50 each.
I'm going to need you to write down like all Robert's the people Western you World. Told us to listen to and all like the places that you mentioned. Like, just give me a list when we're done with
I'm
this.
I'm down. Yeah. It's one of those places where you're there and you're like, okay, yeah, this place feels like old timey. You know?
Oh yeah.
It's the only place left downtown that really has that like old timey feel still. There was a couple, they tore a few of them down after COVID. But and then there's like the Palace and the Scoreboard, which are kind of like out by the Opry Mills, and they got like an old school vibe too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great history, man. Absolutely. You got to try to keep some of it around.
Yeah. They're renaming all the bars downtown to artist names, but.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I think Wallen's got one coming. Luke Combs got one coming.
I've seen this stuff.
Yeah, they're all over. But I mean, they're printing money, so I can't blame them, you know?
No, I guess not.
What is the song that you think gets the best reaction for you? So I know you said that.
Right.
Yeah,
that's ours for sure now.
Anything that even like in the middle of the song, they're starting to sing back or just you notice people like really paying attention to?
I would say honestly, so there's kind of two answers. Online, there's an old one that started doing some numbers for us that I released like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a ballad to Bill Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
A song I wrote about an outlaw that died a mile from my house, and they're all Boca Mountains in southern Oklahoma like 120 years ago. And that song did nothing. It flopped completely. No one even listened to it. And then that was one that I kind of pumped out on TikTok and just stayed on it. And it's like top four, three or four right now. But as far as live goes, like you'll see later tonight, we transition the end of our set right now from that song to Rains in Tulsa 2. And that's one that really kind of kicked things off last September, got us like kind of on the right track and figuring out what we need to be doing. So we'll transition into that one. That one's definitely had like the biggest impact as far as like people, random people knowing it.
Yeah.
But there's a cool part that we're going to do later. And I don't really care to give it away because we've been doing it for like 3 months at this point. But I'll just go completely a cappella at the and like during the third chorus, last chorus.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of thinks the song is over. I guess I'm gonna give it away. Everybody thinks the song is over, and so they start clapping. I'm just like kind of sitting back, and I just like jump back on the last chorus like with no instruments, and like that one just always hits different. Like we did that for the first time at Canes, and that was just like that's like a euphoric feeling for me. Yeah. So I think that's probably the one right now. If I had to pick one.
Can't be anything better than people like singing your songs back or really being into it.
It blows my mind. I can't imagine how you feel, dude.
Crazy, dude.
It's insane.
It is. It's neat.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down. Like I said, when y'all are back in town, let's do full podcast with
you. Yeah, dude, I'm down. I get to talk longer. Yeah. I agree. We'll do it.
I appreciate y'all giving me some green room time and having me and Peyton out for the show. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to drink a couple beers myself.
Yeah, go get them, boys.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Make sure you follow Josh and Trenton on socials. They'll be on here and catch them out on the road whenever you can. And we got to get down to Oklahoma, I guess.
Yeah, we'll y'all coming, man. Let's plan that out. Are still out or something.
Sam's been begging to get back down there, so I'll have to drag him with me for sure.
100%.
Well, thank you guys for listening. This is the Raise Rowdy Podcast.